perfectly willing.
To raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Michael Richard Pence, do solemnly swear.
I, Michael Richard Pence, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
Accompanied by the President's own United States Marine Band.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
What a great honor to be able to introduce for the first time ever anywhere the 45th President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. Obama, fellow Americans, and people of the world, thank you. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Together, we will determine the course of America and the world for many, many years to come. We will face challenges. We will confront hardships, but we will get the job done. Every 4 years, we gather on these steps to carry out the orderly and peaceful transfer of power. And we are grateful to President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama for their gracious aid throughout this transition. They have been magnificent. Thank you. Today's ceremony, however, has very special meaning because today we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people. For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country. Their victories have not been your victories. Their triumphs have not been your triumphs. And while they celebrated in our nation's capital, there was little to celebrate for struggling families all across our land. That all changes, starting right here and right now, because this moment is your moment. It belongs to you. It belongs to everyone gathered here today and everyone watching all across America. This is your day. This is your celebration. And this, the United States of America, is your country. What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people. January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Everyone is listening to you now. You came by the tens of millions to become part of a historic movement, the likes of which the world has never seen before. At the center of this movement is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are just and reasonable demands of righteous people and a righteous public. But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists. Mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities. Rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation. An education system flush with cash, but which leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of all knowledge. And the crime, and the gangs, and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now. We are one nation, and their pain is our pain. Their dreams are our dreams, and their success will be our success. We share one heart, one home, and one glorious destiny. The oath of office I take today is an oath of allegiance to all Americans. For many decades, we've enriched foreign industry at the expense of American industry, subsidized the armies of other countries while allowing for the very sad depletion of our military. We've defended other nations' borders while refusing to defend our own. And spent trillions and trillions of dollars overseas while America's infrastructure has fallen into disrepair and decay. We've made other countries rich while the wealth, strength, and confidence of our country has dissipated over the horizon. One by one, the factories shuttered and left our shores with not even a thought about the millions and millions of American workers that were left behind. The wealth of our middle class has been ripped from their homes and then redistributed all across the world. But that is the past. And now we are looking only to the future. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families. We must protect our borders from the ravages of other countries making our products, stealing our companies, and destroying our jobs. Protection will lead to great prosperity and strength. I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never, ever let you down. winning again. Winning like never before. We will bring back our jobs. We will bring back our borders. We will bring back our wealth. And we will bring back our dreams. We will build new roads and highways and bridges and airports and tunnels and railways all across our wonderful nation. We will get our people off of welfare and back to work, rebuilding our country with American hands and American labor. We will follow two simple rules: buy American and hire American. We will seek friendship and goodwill with the nations of the world, but we do so with the understanding that it is the right of all nations to put their own interests first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. We will reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of the earth. At the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America. And through our loyalty to our country, we will rediscover our loyalty to each other. When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. The Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We must speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue solidarity. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. Finally, we must think big and dream even bigger. In America, we understand that a nation is only living as long as it is striving. We will no longer accept politicians who are all talk and no action, constantly complaining but never doing anything about it. The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action. Do not allow anyone to tell you that it cannot be done. No challenge can match the heart and fight and spirit of America. We will not fail. Our country will thrive and prosper again. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. It's time to remember that old wisdom our soldiers will never forget. That whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots. We all enjoy the same glorious freedoms, and we all salute the same great American flag. And whether a child is born in the urban sprawl of Detroit or the windswept plains of Nebraska, they look up at the same night sky, they fill their heart with the same dreams, and they are infused with the breath of life by the same almighty Creator. So to all Americans, in every city, near and far, small and large, from mountain to mountain, from ocean to ocean, hear these words. You will never be ignored again. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. And your courage and goodness and love will forever guide us along the way. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you. God bless America.
Call on Rabbi Marvin Heyer, Reverend Franklin Graham, and Bishop Wayne T. Jackson to provide readings and the benediction.
Eternal God, bless President Donald J. Trump and America, our great nation. Guide us to remember the words of the psalmist, who may dwell on your holy mountain, one who does what is right and speaks the truth, who knows that when you eat the labor of your hands, you are praiseworthy, that he who sows in tears shall reap in joy. Because the freedoms we enjoy are not granted in perpetuity, but must be reclaimed by each generation. As our ancestors have planted for us, so we must plant for others. While it is not for us to complete the task, neither are we free to desist from them. Dispense justice to the needy and the orphan, for they have no one but their fellow citizens. And because a nation's wealth is measured by her values and not by her vaults, bless all of our allies around the world who share our beliefs. By the rivers of Babylon, we wept as we remembered Zion. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. The doer of all these shall never falter. May the days come soon when justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness will abide in the fertile fields, and the work of righteousness will be peace, quietness, and confidence forever. Amen.
Mr. President, in the Bible, rain is a sign of God's blessing. And it started to rain, Mr. President, when you came to the platform. And it's my prayer that God will bless you, your family, your administration, and may He bless America. The passage of Scripture comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, for all those in authority, that we may live peacefully, quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you, Father, for letting us share this great moment together. Let us not take for granted the air we breathe or the life you've given us. We were all created by you with one blood, all nations to dwell upon this land together. We are not enemies, but brothers and sisters. We're not adversaries, but we're allies. We are not foes, but we're friends. Let us be healed by the power of your love and united by the bond of your spirit. Today, we pray for our 45th president, the vice president, and their families, and give them the wisdom to guide this great nation, the strength to protect it, and their hands to heal it. We bless President Donald J. Trump. We ask that you give him the wisdom of Solomon, the vision of Joseph, and the meekness of Christ. Solomon, who kept peace among many nations, Joseph, who dreamt better for the people, and Christ, who accepted us all. O Lord, mend our hearts and stitch together the fabric of this great country. In the spirit of the legendary gospel songwriter, Mahalia Jackson, oh, deep in my heart, I do believe the Lord will see us through. I do believe we are on our way to victory. I do believe we will walk hand in hand. I do believe we shall live in peace. I do believe. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe America we shall overcome. May the Lord bless and keep America, make his face shine upon us, and be gracious unto us, and give us peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jackie Ivanko, accompanied by the President's own United States Marine Band. Please stand for the singing of the national anthem.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought this speech was a call to arms rather than an appeal for unity. It was a populist message that guided to the presidency. Tough language, talking about eliminating the American carnage, talking about eliminating from the face of the earth, a radical Islamic extremism. It was a call to arms, Nora.
But we kept hearing that it would be a speech about unity and healing. And I kept waiting to hear something about unity and healing, and that never came. I think that's very surprising. And to say the way he slammed everything that has happened in the last 8 years with the president, the former president of the United States, sitting there, listening to that after they had just come from tea and coffee together. I think a lot of people are very surprised by this tone today.
Well,
it lacked the soaring rhetoric of most inaugural addresses that speak to our better angel that President Lincoln declared more than 100 years ago. Instead, he talked about righteous people and a righteous public. I don't know that I've ever heard an inaugural address where the words crime, drugs, gangs, carnage, rusted out factories. So it was darker than most inaugural addresses.
But it
did speak to the electorate that put him in office, that feels that they have been left out.
It had echoes of his nominating speech at the Republican convention. This is a speech to the emotional connection he had with that group of voters who felt Washington wasn't listening to them. But going back to Bob's point, the people arrayed around him were his first target. The politicians who not only acted too slowly, but who were venal in his description, who had sold out the American people, who were more interested in their comforts, he shot both parties, more interested in their comforts than the American people. That is about as big a criticism you can make of people in politics, and it's a criticism of the people with whom he's now going to have to work, not just leaving aside Barack Obama. On the rhetoric question, he was, to the extent that he deployed rhetoric, it was always in painting that dark, desolate, dangerous American landscape. There was none of that parceled out to anything uplifting or around which people could unify. It was also a reaffirmation of his idea of America first. America first to restore jobs, America first in terms of taking people and bringing them back, whatever he means by make America great again.
I didn't hear a lot of applause while we're sitting there looking at the crowd. He got as big as applause when he said, we will eliminate ISIS. That was the first time that I heard a significant amount of applause while we're watching the crowd here. I'm curious to see how it played in the country, this speech.
And America first means that wall, that protection, the American jobs, American companies in America, no adventures from overseas. These are battle lines within his own party, where you have a lot of Republicans who believe in free trade as a part of the capitalist system, and then secondarily, who believe, as Ronald Reagan did, that there are values worth protecting and promoting overseas for their own sake, and that to promote them and to exercise U.S. power as a way to promote those ideas keeps America safe. This was a real clear break from that.
I just want to point out we're seeing now President Donald Trump and President Barack Obama, they are walking into the Capitol Rotunda. They are going now to what will be a luncheon with members of Congress and President Trump. And they will say goodbye to the first family, the Obamas, who will lead out the east front of the Capitol and board what is known traditionally as Marine One, but since he is no longer the sitting president, it will be called Executive One, and they will go on to their post-presidency
life. This is one more of the traditions that are part of every inaugural day. Meeting with the leaders of Congress after you make the inaugural speech. In talking to people who've watched Donald Trump through his whole career, they define his opening gambit as often, as Richard Lefrak, one of his longtime friends, said, is to throw hand grenades at the beginning, destabilize everyone, and that is, in some instances, a negotiating ploy, which is to say, he knows ultimately he's going to have to be somewhere else, but if you start at the furthest edge, then you can come back to it.
We're on the National Mall, and on the other end of the U.S. Capitol is the Lincoln Memorial. And on the Lincoln Memorial are actually etched the words from President Lincoln's inaugural address. That's why these inaugural addresses matter. They get etched in stone. What of this address does he want to have etched in stone? And that will be something to look closely at, to mark his future monument, to mark his future library. What if these are the most iconic speeches, some of the most iconic things of American history?
Yeah. Well, this one is why America known forever as the American Carnage speech. That was the most striking phrase in it. He was speaking to, in my estimation, and only to, the people who got him elected.
Let me just add
it
one
was
thing
a popular
here.
Speech.
Let me just add one thing here, Charlie. When the first George Bush made his inaugural address, he said, "We meet on democracy's front porch, a grand place to talk as neighbors and friends. This is the day our nation is made whole." This was not a speech, a friendly speech to the neighbors. This was serving notice that there's a new guy on the block, and we're going to do things in a different way. His way.
And it was a speech to those people elected, and there we see the former president and the new president walking through Congress to attend the lunch together.
No,
President Obama's not going to the lunch. He's going to be saying goodbye to him. Then the president will come back.
This is the east front of the Capitol and the steps, and they will say goodbye. It's a beautiful wave goodbye. And the Obamas will get on the helicopter and go to join Air Force Base.
I wonder what they're saying. I don't know, but you think about this, and this is the way the former presidents have traditionally left. But think about back in the day of Harry Truman. He put his suitcases in the family car, and he and his wife drove back to Missouri. What a difference a few years makes.
President Obama kissing his wife's hand as they're preparing to head down the steps to the helicopter and leave Washington. Forward, a new vision will govern our land. It is going to be only America first. The new vice president sending off the old.
I remember the day that Ronald Reagan left and Sam Donalds of ABC News shouted the question, and Barbara Bush, who was about to go to the White House, said, "Oh, he got his last shout."
Barbara Bush and her husband, the former president, 92-year-old George Herbert Walker Bush, have been in the hospital. But late reports are that they are both doing much better. The former president has had pneumonia. But we are told that all signs are toward improvement, and they hope to have him out of the hospital soon.
So I guess the former vice president, he's going down to the railroad station and get on the Amtrak and go back to Delaware, which he did. And, you know, he commuted back and forth when he was in the Senate for so many years.
There has been a little bit of trouble in Washington. Far away from the ceremonies, there have been some unruly crowds, some broken store windows. At one point, the Metropolitan Police used pepper spray to quell those crowds. But some people came to town today bent on trouble, and that in no way has had any impact on the ceremonies here on the National Mall. Let's watch and listen now as the first African-American president says his final goodbye. Thank you.
President Obama waves goodbye to the nation's capital as the helicopter, formerly known as Marine One, prepares to lift off from the grounds of the Capitol. The new President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, and the new First Lady are headed back into the Capitol for a traditional luncheon with members of Congress. And then he will be heading to the White House, and there will be hours of parades and festivities that go well into the night. President Obama said in his final news conference that he was looking forward to his time after the presidency. One of the things he said was he was looking forward to when he wouldn't have to hear himself talking all the time. And some of us in television get that same feeling sometimes, Scott.
Yeah. It'll be interesting now, some former presidents in years past, that helicopter is lifted off and then headed down the hall, and of course, we'll see if that's what they choose to do today, to give them one last look at Washington, where they spent 8 previous years.
I'll have to check my history here, Bob, but Barack Obama is certainly one of the youngest former presidents in our history, if not the youngest. He has a long career ahead of him.
Yes, he does. And we'll now have 5 former presidents, which may be a record number. I'm trying to think back.
President Obama's inauguration day, his first inauguration day 8 years ago, it has been estimated that there were more than 1.6 million people in Washington. It was potentially the largest gathering in the history of the nation's capital.
Certainly the largest in the 47 years I've been.
For the rest of me, Snapchat for the recipe. Garvey ain't no X to me. Rough fry bow X to we. The real Stevie B. Now who the cares? Fuck a nigga in pairs. Driving in pair for the police. And I won't leave on fire like emoji. Little Bo P. Hard dip. Pussy gon' see, pussy gon' speak. Hey!
Tragedy, yeah. Just to make my nigga through history, yeah. Never remake this black history. need to know until you sell a zip. Soon as it to quit, and I ain't tell a shit. Fuck you, fucking president. Black suit, one foot in that crack, no evidence. Come through, nigga, fuck your sediment. Fuck, taking over, nigga, everybody resident. If you really don't, nigga, better let him in. Free my niggas right now, then let him in.
Lacing up this suit, and we ain't trying to be president. Lacing up them boots, and we ain't leaving no evidence. Hands up, don't shoot, and we ain't taking no settlement. To Mr. President, who the third? Dressing up in suit, and we ain't leaving no evidence. Hands up, don't shoot,
don't shoot.
And we ain't taking no settlement. Lacing up them boots. If you want a nigga, come get it then. Then Mr. President, who the third?
My hands up, don't shoot. I'm real down to them roots. I'm strapped up, my hands wrapped up, but I swear I ain't no truth. I'm so ready for war and not going to school. Teachers, they boring, they live by the rules. Most niggas I know, man, they live by the truth. A kid with no job, so they robbing for food. I pray for them dudes, yeah, I pray for my dog. Pray that we up and we never gon' fall. Breaking the barriers, beating the odds. Kevin gave ground cause I don't get tired. Ain't gon' lie, it's not some signs. Every day my people dying. Now another baby crying, cause he watched his daddy die. We so numb to the pain. How could have swore that we broke in the chains? Get the sunshine, but they only see rain. With so much loss, man, what can we gain? Let's take kids in riots. We ain't living, we surviving. Ain't going down without fighting, so I'll just say bring the violence. Crew.
Flexing up this boat, and we ain't trying to be president. Lacing up them boats, and we ain't leaving no evidence. Hands up, don't shoot, and we ain't taking no settlement. To Mr. President, who the third? Dressing up this suit. And we ain't leaving no evidence. Hands up, don't shoot. And we ain't taking no settlement. Lacing up them boots. If you want a nigga, come get it then. Then Mr. President, who the third?
Gathered there for several hours. Major Garrett reported earlier today that Trump had asked if he could just skip the lunch and get straight to work because he wants to quickly put pen to paper and issue some executive actions. And it will be a very short inaugural parade after that, but there'll be some ceremony that we'll cover. But I think what we're getting a sense here is, we see represented by these pictures, Obama has said farewell. This is an end of an era. And off to California, the family.
I do like that he told Steve Croft in 60 Minutes, Nora, that wherever he is tomorrow morning, he will not be setting his alarm.
And I assume that coming up is maybe one last trip around Washington, as most presidents or former presidents want to do.
Yes.
Let us not forget that what we saw here at this inaugural day was a gathering of Republicans and Democrats, members of the Supreme Court and the Congress, all here to
yes.
be part of what our democracy is about,
and
the peaceful transfer of power, sometimes between people who do not see America in terms of policies the same way, and that was certainly true.
And we're seeing the Bidens now. That's actually a train station. They're at Union Station here, and they
quick.
Are. That was
quick.
Was they, have held what's known as the 1 p.m. Excella for the Bidens, who will go back to Delaware. And for those who know, Vice President Biden, former Senator Biden, he went home, went back home to Delaware every night. He has taken more than 8,000 round trips in his career on Amtrak.
He's been doing that since he was 29 years old.
Yes.
Should be doing some free ones on the next.
Yes. back on the train back home, also with Senator Carper there as well from the great state of Delaware. And no doubt many of the conductors and those who work on this Amtrak know Biden by name, and he may know their children's name.
I was just saying, he knows them too.
Yeah,
he knows. He knows them too.
And Nancy Cordes has covered Vice President Biden and his time in the Senate, and she's also there on the Hill covering this luncheon. Nancy?
Hey, Nora. Well, the west front of the Capitol has now pretty much cleared out. But you know who one of the last people to leave was? Was Steve Bannon, who is now going to be a close advisor to President Trump in the White House. He joined the campaign late in the game, and a lot of people have already said that they really heard a lot of Steve Bannon in that presidential address. It was very interesting. As the senators were filing out, I asked about 10 of them, Democrats and Republicans, what they thought of this speech. And frankly, they had very little to say. Most of them looked kind of shell-shocked. The Democrats, of course, disagreed with a lot of what Mr. Trump had to say, but don't want to go there on a day like today. And for the Republicans, they're mostly wondering how in the world they are now going to achieve some of the objectives that he laid out. How are they going to roll back the forces of globalization and modernization, which they believe are much more responsible for job losses than U.S. trade policies or U.S. tax policy, for that matter? How do they simultaneously cut taxes and make this enormous investment in infrastructure? How do they roll back Obamacare but cover everyone? This speech was as much a challenge to them as anyone, and they are going to be grappling with that challenge because, after all, if they aren't able to achieve the objectives that he has laid out, the objectives that a lot of Trump supporters are desperately hoping they can achieve, then they, along with Mr. Trump, will get the blame.
Nancy Cordes there on Capitol Hill. If you take a look at these pictures for this congressional luncheon, that is well attended by a group that's going to try and work together in these next several months to enact, well, first they've got to vote on his cabinet, fill his government, and then fill his promises to the American people.
John, do you think the president helped himself or hurt himself with this speech?
Well, if he got elected because he was himself, then in this speech he was himself, and therefore he stuck with what brought him. I think if his goal was to unify people, I don't think this speech did that. I think that, it's extraordinary he's going to have this lunch after he have just describing all of the members he's eating with as total sellouts to the America, for their own comfort and selling out the American people. But his mode in business has been to do these big opening gambits and use that to control the negotiation. And this was his big opening gambit.
John, it has worked for him.
That put him where he is today. But on the other hand, he has to deal with the political rally, the landscape he faces, which is his approval ratings are low. And he has an intense following, but there is also a lot of nervousness in the country, and this probably deepened both of those feelings. The followers who got just what they wanted, and those who are nervous, or maybe more so.
You said at one point, John, sometimes his MO is to throw down a hand grenade and then dial it back. Would you describe this as a hand grenade being thrown?
To all of Washington,
It was definitely a bipartisan hand grenade.
You are watching CBS News coverage of the inauguration of Donald Trump, coming up the parade, and Donald Trump moving into the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue. Thank you.
white lie. Any Jesus only fun size. Bar down five. Take for granted just the sunrise. Focus on your third eye. Blind out your second. Put your second out the first eye. Pull the first eye. Have the truth right out in plain sight. I shouldn't never be the one to tell you that it ain't right. Nah, it ain't right. Nope. Nah, it ain't right. Strike fear in the darkness of my walk. Walk in the name, find the answer in my talk. Same seat you attack. Chop the writings on the wall. My line graffiti rhymed the BG paintings. Thought you saw. I'm black man, black man.
Black man. Black man.
Look. It ain't no fake, black man shot down, it ain't love, it's hate, my nigga. You try to tell me what's straight, nigga, trying to demonstrate, nigga, don't regulate, my nigga. Hold on, let me set the record straight, for a nigga like me, man, I don't love to hate. I'm only living one love, nigga, black king, nigga, for a pride, nigga, ain't no dream.
No reality,
it's a motherfucking mother, try to put me in soccer, what you doing? In a dust, something like the rest, they be down in the system. Well, I don't really give a fuck about the system. Fuck the government, fuck everything your name, fuck your white Jesus, fuck everything you claim. I put on black everything, nigga. Come through the streets and I spray paint, nigga. Shoulda had a gun in your hand, Trayvon. Shoulda had a gun in your hand, Mike Brown. Nah, and that's another black man shot down. Nobody really gave a fuck about the gun sound. You gotta keep spinning like the world. Yeah, you don't love nobody, better love yourself. Stand up for the black kings, man. Black everything.